Here we go. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. And let the excitement begin. Laura Sievert is here on Caitlin Clark's 23rd birthday. Her favorite Iowa player. Yeah. So we're going to talk about Arts Quincy. And as always, Laura is a super representative, not just of Quincy, but of Adams County, of the state of Illinois, and indeed the entire tri-state area. Today, she's participating in something put on by Yale University.
Yeah.
So you tell us about this, Laura. I know you don't like to toot your horn, but I have to pull this stuff out of her because, oh, I don't know if I want to. But talk about this because it puts the spotlight on Quincy. When the spotlight is on you, it's not on you. It's on Quincy and the Quincy Society of Fine Arts, as it should be.
Yeah, you know, I'm always looking to increase my skill set. So last year I took a Yale University course called Connected Leadership, and it's just talking about it's an in-depth course to talk about how we can be better leaders and be connected to our constituents and get all of our stakeholders to buy into what we're doing. You know, of course, I've got to do a lot of donor relations and I've got to do a lot of promotion within the arts. I've got to talk to people like you. So I want to keep those skills sharp. So I'm always taking additional coursework. And the professor tagged one of my papers as being a particularly good one. And he hosts a podcast for Yale called Connected Leadership. And I will be the first kind of rural representative that's ever been on this show. So, yeah, we're filming today. We're doing it. It's a funny story. His assistant, he's got an assistant who was booking me. He goes, so are you going to come down to the studio? And I said, down to the studio at Yale? And I go, you think I'm in Quincy, Massachusetts, don't you? And she said, where are you? And I said, Quincy, Illinois. It's only about 15 hours away. And so she goes, well, maybe we'll do it on Zoom. So,
I tell you what, you should have said, send me the plane ticket and I'll be there.
Right.
Yeah.
But the as soon as it's done, I'll let everybody know, you know, when it goes up. But these are really well-regarded podcasts. I'm pretty excited to be a part of it. A little nervous, but, you know.
Well, let's talk about this. I mean, I don't know what they're going to ask you, but, you know, Yale University, obviously in a major metro area, and the East Coast, very, you know, what we're in the flyover area. They don't even know we exist. Quincy, Illinois, Quincy, Mass. They don't even know the difference. But what kind of things are you going to say? Because having the arts in rural America is difficult. Quincy, Illinois is a rather unique. We have a symphony. We have an arts center. We have a theater that's got 499 seats. We've got museums galore. What about the leadership aspect of that are you going to be talking to these people from Yale? Because what you're going to be trying to do is talk to people that live in rural areas. They can't build it all in one day, but they could start.
Absolutely. And, you know, we find that, you know, I want to talk definitely about the idea that well, in corporate America, we always say you have to be able to communicate above you and below your pay grade, right? So you have to be talking to the CEOs and you have to be talking to the people that you're managing. And in some respects, that's what I still do, right? I'm interfacing with the state stakeholders when we bring the folks from Chicago down here to see what we do, and I'm advocating on behalf of Quincy. But then I'm also advocating that Quincy comes out and supports these arts organizations. So I'm in the middle of a really interesting spot in communication and an interesting spot in disseminating information about all these great opportunities and helping them. We're going to talk about challenges in our industry, and one of the challenges in my industry is succession planning. So we have some of these organizations have been led by the same couple of people for 45 years, and they're looking to retire from those positions, and how do we develop the next set of leaders to move into those positions? So it's something that I do every day, and I hope that it kind of comes through in this podcast, because rural America has a lot to add to the cultural conversation. It's a moment where rural America is sort of being looked at, and I think it's important that we represent what we do.
You also have secession when it comes to donors. George Irwin has passed.
Yeah, absolutely.
He started the Quincy Society of Fine Arts. He started
our endowment.
The symphony. He started the endowment. But he is gone.
Yeah.
And so we must pick up the mantle. And that is one of the challenges always with any arts organization, because so many people don't think the arts, they're not the top priority. I remember when the school district had to cut. What did they first cut? The arts.
Right.
Anytime somebody has to cut something, it's always the arts. In budgetary shortfall times, it's always the arts. So can you speak to getting a younger group, a younger generation of people interested in rural America about how important it is to have arts experiences?
Well, we see two major entry points to that. One of them is with quality of life metrics, right? We can't attract a new doctor to Blessing or a new engineer to our plants if they don't think it's a good place to live. So when we talk about having arts access, they want their kids to have these programs. They want their kids to be able to start the violin. They want these things to be available for their families. So quality of life is something that I'm always talking about. But then the other thing that kind of comes to my mind is thinking about giving in a new way. So I like to give in sustaining memberships, right? So $5 a month, easy program it for the year. As I always say, buy the arts a cup of coffee. But my age group, you know, we're like middle age now, Mary. I don't like to claim the title, but I guess I'm middle age now. We like to give this way,
well,
right?
If you are. I really am.
Oh, so, man.
No, I don't think I'm middle.
42.
Laura, unless I live to be 130, I'm past middle. You're middle. I'm past.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyhow, people don't give the same way they used to. They don't just write the, you know, $500 check at the end of the year. We want to give in a different way. So Arts Quincy and other arts organizations are adapting to that by saying, hey, what about $5 a month? $5 a month supports what we do at Arts Quincy, helps us get things out into your kids to the schools and all of those things. And it is an easy, no hassle way to give and to be a part of this community that we all love. So, I think that is what we see in the change for this industry right now. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you're recording the Yale podcast today. You'll let us know when it is up so that we can view it. But very, very interesting. Yale University, and you've taken a class there, and your paper caught the attention of the professor. So I hope you got an A in the class. Do they grade at that level?
I did. I got a 98% A, and I don't play. That's my actually 10th university certificate past my master's degree, because I would just keep going to school if they'd let me.
Okay. She's got a master's degree and 10 certifications. But yet she's here on the Mary Griffith Show. So anytime she starts thinking she's all that, she's on a 5,000-watt AM radio station. Eagle Day's coming up. Let's talk about that, because speaking of arts and speaking of culture, there's a young man coming who was on American Idol, I guess it was.
Yeah.
And he is at least half Native American. His mother, I think, is full-blooded. And he wanted to know more about his culture. And he contacted them. He didn't say, hey, how'd you like to have me, you know, book me. He contacted them and is coming to see them, this young man is. So you're going to get a free concert when you pay admission to go see Eagle Days this year, Saturday and Sunday, the 25th and 26th, from 10 to 5 both days at the Oakley Lindsay Center. Raptors will be there, of course, the Native American educators, the dancers. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And Tristan Harper, this American Idol runner-up, will be performing from 10:30 to 11 on both Saturday and Sunday, and again from 3 to 3:30. On Saturday and Sunday. So,
yeah,
that's
so I looked
great.
I looked this kid up and I hadn't heard him.
He's amazing.
He's young. He's like 17.
Only 16. He was 15 when he was on the show. He just turned 16.
He has the deepest voice I think I've ever heard on a teenager. Just like you start singing, you're like, that can't be his voice. That can't be how he sounds. Really cool, deep country voices. Pretty neat. But as you said, he wanted to be a part of this event. It's always such a terrific event here at the Oakley Lindsay Center. Of course, I work there in the building, so I see it getting set up every year. They're already down there putting the teepee up and all of that business. So it's going to be terrific. It's an intertribal powwow, so it's all of the tribes of the area and anybody with affiliation with tribes of the area. But if you aren't Native American, you are absolutely welcome to come and experience this as well. We go about every year. My kids and I go about every year and really enjoy all of the different exhibits that they have and just opportunities to learn a little bit more about these cultures.
It is fantastic. Admission is $7 if you're 11 and up, $5 for seniors over 60, and free for kids under 10. And if you wear your Boy Scout or Girl Scout uniform, you get in free as well. Go to cquincy.com for more details. Also, you can go down to the Lock and Dam and see the Eagles there. They'll have Corps of Engineers, Rangers, and viewing binoculars and scopes out there.
You know that. I should just cut in on that. We went down to the dam the other day. There must have been 150 eagles.
I know. Isn't it amazing how they were endangered and on the brink of extinction and we brought them back to...
We banned DDT and all of a sudden they're everywhere. They're like vultures.
Once they could have eggs. Once their eggs sheltered and crack, they were able to reproduce.
I have never seen that many as I did last weekend. Absolutely.
I'm going to cherry pick a few things for you here. Yeah. I want to talk about Quincy High School's drama, Rich Full Life. It's going to be performed February 6th, 7th, and 8th at 7 p.m. at Quincy High School. This is set in the 1940s, but it's a problem that could happen today. A 16-year-old girl has a weakened immune system, and she shouldn't be out in public, really, but she gets invited to her senior prom. Should she go? This is great. I think every teenager will want to see this, and I think this is a good talking point for parents who have children that are going to be teens. Tickets are only $10 for students, $15 for adults. February 6th, 7th, and 8th at 7 o'clock at Quincy High School. I mean, Megan Buckley, they bring some good stuff to Quincy High. Rich, Full Life.
Yeah, she nails this. Absolutely. Mrs. Buckley does a terrific job bringing in challenging pieces, right? These are plays that are going to make you think. And I think the spring play particularly is always chosen to be something that has a good message, has an interesting topic that you may not see anywhere else. And really encourages these kids to reach a little further into drama, into storytelling. And, kids like that may not go on to careers in theater, of course, but they might go on to do some great communication or something like we're doing right here, a little radio interview.
Right.
So I love the skill set that it develops in all of these youth that take part of it. And, of course, there's also all the behind-the-scenes folks that make these things happen.
Right. Theater is a team sport. And so if you're not athletically inclined, a great way to get your children involved in a team sport is the sport of theater. I'll call it that. So that is coming up. Get your tickets. Support these kids. QHS, Rich Full Life. All you have to do is call the music department at 224-3774 to get your tickets, or go to qps.org and look on their website there. They've got their school board meeting tonight, and I'm sure they'll be encouraging people to go to this. One more thing before we let you go. I'm excited about the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. They are going to have a cymbalon master. If you're like, what the heck is a cymbalon? It's a Hungarian dulcimer.
Yes, ma'am. I had to look it up myself.
I was going to say, I'm like, what is a cymbalon? Fortunately, Arts Quincy explained it for me because I had no idea. This is Saturday, February 8th, looking out a little bit at 2:30 at Quincy Junior High. But this is a symphony. If you've got the season tickets, it's on your season ticket. Tell us a little bit about this, because it's a full production.
Yeah, I had to not only look up what a cymbalon was, but how to say it, because I did a commercial voicing about a month ago, and I was like, I don't even know how to say
this
word.
Is that how you say it? Because I don't know. Cymbalon?
That was quite good, yeah. It is, the piece that he's doing is super amazing. It's a swashbuckling tale of a Hungarian folk hero, and it's really a lot of storytelling through music, and that's everything that the symphony is about, right? Storytelling through these great pieces of music. It is an opportunity to see something you've never seen before and to hear something you've never heard before. But of course, the entire show is about adventures and explorations. So not just this particular swashbuckling tale, but there's every piece tells a story. This is also the
Young Artist
Award winner. It will be doing her piece. Her name is
Kaylee Blunier.
She plays
the clarinet
player,
at
Warsaw
High School. But she's, in the last 9 years, she's played with Western Illinois University, with the Quincy Youth Orchestra, with the Nauvoo Community Orchestra, the Quincy Park Band. She's
virtuoso, yeah, absolutely.
She's a virtuoso on the clarinet. So, wow. So, again, tickets are on sale right now, $18 for adults, $15 if you're a senior citizen, anyone 18 and under. Can get in free to all the symphony concerts. It's Saturday, February 8th at Quincy Junior High School. A baton goes up at 2:30. Do not miss it. The Hungarian dulcimer and our local clarinetist, if that's a word, and Bruce Briney and the gang doing all of this. It's the Hungarian folktale Zoltán Kodály's Harry Janos Suite.
Hey, okay. Way to take that on. I just skipped over it. I was like, okay. It's Hungarian.
Well, whatever. You'll be ridiculed if you don't know it. I'll just be like, Griffith, today we had a girl on. She was so nice. A high school beef queen from Hancock County. And I was trying to be funny with her. And, of course, she's very respectful of her elders. So I said, you're the beef queen and you raise beef. How many gallons of milk does your prize-winning bull give a day? And she didn't want to say, you're an idiot.
Right,
you know?
Right,
so she goes,
right.
Well, I'm not sure of that number.
Oh, that's cute.
I said, you can go ahead and say, hey.
I'm used to just kind of calling you on your stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So, you can go ahead and say, city slicker bulls don't get
milk.
That's
right.
You know?
That's right. That's
but
right.
I think she was just, you know, these kids are so polite.
They are.
The ones we have so many bright and best, and Quincy High School's got them for Rich Full Life, and the Eagle Days will be down there. The Boy Scouts will be out in mass at Eagle Days this weekend. So celebrate the youth. And speaking of youth, Quincy Children's Museum is up next. So we're going to say goodbye to Laura Sievert, and we'll say hello to Amy Peters. And dinosaurs are coming, and the name of the exhibit is Roar. So we're looking forward to that. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about a minute and a half. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD at 935. Amy Peters has stepped into the studio. She's the executive director of the Quincy Children's Museum, which is located at 116 North 4th Street. Make that 115. I moved you across the street into the parkway. 115 North 4th Street, soon to be in a brand new location, but we'll talk about that. Because right now, we're going to talk about Roar. The new dinosaur exhibit. We've been waiting for this.
Yes.
When will it open?
It's open.
It's here.
It's here. It's open. We opened that on January 10th. So it is upstairs in our second floor of the Children's Museum right now. And the feedback is in, and they love it. So don't miss out. Historically, we've kept our exhibits up there for 2 months at a time. I think this year we're switching to quarters. So it's a lot of work and a lot of expense putting these exhibits together. So this will be there for at least 3 months. But I'll keep you in the loop next time I'm here. But
wait a minute. I would think this could stay up for longer than that.
Well, the exciting thing is this exhibit will go mobile with us. So if you've seen the Children's Museum out and about around town over the last 5 years, you've likely seen our big blue blocks and our arch. And while those things are wonderful and fabulous, we are ready and excited to do some new things this year. So we are excited that we will be touring with Roar this spring and summer. And a couple of other exhibits that will be new to us as well.
So it's on right now. See it in person on the second floor of the Children's Museum, 115 North 4th Street, right on this Washington Park Square. And it's going to be up for at least 3 months, and then that will probably start on a traveling.
Yeah, so there's
a traveling adventure.
A dig pit. There's dinosaurs for your kiddos to sit on. There is lots of hands-on activities. There's a whole bunch of Play-Doh that they can make the fossils and things.
Yeah.
So all that fun stuff.
We had some fun with you this morning. You probably didn't hear. You were probably on your way over. But every Wednesday in Hannibal in the winter, they have archery practice. And one of the 3-day 3D archeries they have is a dinosaur.
Oh.
So I would say that's why you don't see dinosaurs around here, because they're always being hunted by bow and arrow.
Yes.
And they've been eradicated from our population. So I said, Amy, you're going to have to watch out. Don't let those people from Hannibal come up and shoot your dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have to be careful about that. So that exhibit is up. Roar! I love it. The new dinosaur exhibit. That is going to be exciting. You also have something coming up that's kind of for adults, because adults have to raise money for the Children's Museum, right?
Well, always. We're always raising money. But really, what we're looking forward to in February, which I think is what you're talking about, a family day at the brewery.
Family day at the brewery?
Yes. So Quincy,
I mean, come on, how German can we get? Here, kid, you're 5 years old. Have your first pint.
Hey, Quincy Brewing Company is a wonderful establishment here locally. They've tried their best and I think done a wonderful job. They've got board games up there all the time for families. They brew their own house-made non-alcoholic root beer. It's Bluff's beer, and they're going to do root beer floats for us that day. So before the big game, Super Bowl Sunday, I'm hoping for the Chiefs to be in it. But before that, come on down to Quincy Brewing Company. We'll be there from noon till 3.
with some of our exhibits, some fun activities and things, some staff on hand to answer questions, but really just get out of the house and enjoy some family fun together. Obviously, the adults can partake in a beverage or two from the brewing company, but then there's also some great neighbors around there that have some awesome food, Plat Daddy, Times Square, all of those, so you can bring any of that stuff in with you, too.
Okay, so this is Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah.
Super Bowl Sunday at the Quincy Brewing Company on the Promenade, North 6th Street. Home brewed root beer for root beer floats, and then, of course, adult beverages as well. Yeah, I misread it.
I don't think I was clear. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. It was funny because she said, oops, one more thing, and she sent me an email. I didn't print that part of it. But so, again, this is just another activity, another exhibit, another place for people to come together and have fun as a family.
Yeah, and honestly, like, the Super Bowl, some kids are really into it, but get your kids down and have fun with them so that
some kids are really into it, but not the five-hour pregame.
Later on, while you're watching the game, you can say, I already played with you at the museum. It's time for you to go play on your tablet. So,
at least there is method to remember. Kansas City hopefully is in the Super Bowl. I can't see how they won't be, but we'll pray for that. And so Pop especially can say, listen, kid, I fed you a root beer float. I let you play games. Now it's Daddy's turn.
Yeah.
Daddy's turn to have the TV all to himself.
I have five kids. That's my plan for the day. So
I tell you what, if you spike the root beer float, they'll go to sleep. No,
we do not encourage that.
We do not encourage that. Okay, Amy Peters she denies any knowledge of any such plan crafted by Mary Griffith. So that's going to be fun. And that is what, February 8th? Is
9th.
That the 8th? February 9th. Yeah. Yep. Okay. The 8th is a Saturday. Yeah. February 9th, Super Bowl Sunday at the Brewing Company. Okay. That is exciting. You guys do so much, not only in your museum, but you take, you know, like you said, you take things out. My family reunion is this year, and I've got to find something for children to do. Mm. So I'm either going to drop them off. Well, they'll be supervised with somebody, not me.
Yeah.
or maybe we can have one of our locations. We're having it at our old family farm. Maybe we can bring the Quincy Children's Museum truck out there and you can entertain them with dinosaurs.
For a price. We would love to come to your family reunion.
I realize it is not free, but that's okay.
And that's kind of something that we have to communicate with people because for the first 4 years, we did. We went everywhere. We didn't charge a dime. We always welcomed donations. But that was really about raising awareness and making sure people understood who we were and what we did. But as of last year, we started charging to go to those things. And really, it's, you know, people know who we are now. They know what to expect when we roll up. They know that their kids are going to get to experience something fun. We're going to keep them entertained. We're happy to do those sorts of things.
Well, like you said, you can only rely on your donors for so long to foot the entire bill. Mm-hmm. People need to pay for this wonderful experience. This dinosaur experience alone is definitely worth the cost of admission.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break and we're going to talk about that because there are so many ways for your group, your Girl Scout troop, your church group, your church youth group, your school, your neighborhood, whatever, a birthday party. There's so many ways for you to have either an event at the Children's Museum or have them come to you with their mobile event. And we'll talk about that in just a moment with Amy Peters, director of the Quincy Children's Museum. But first, we'll take a break at 9:43. We'll head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. We'll see what's happening on the farm markets today. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Amy Peters is here, and she will be here every month because the Quincy Children's Museum just has so much stuff to talk about. Their Tinseltown event in December was very successful. People had a blast at a Christmas-themed event. Their Roar Dinosaur exhibit is now up and running, and you'll be able to see that for the next 3 months at the Children's Museum, so get your kids down there to do that. You are also offering some special admission rates and some special memberships for families. And so let's talk about that, Amy Peters, with the Quincy Children's Museum, because it's a thing where people can want to go back and back and back. Mm-hmm. It's not something that, oh, my kids have seen that, you know, I imagine after the 20th time, they could become bored with it. But first of all, there's always something new.
Yes.
And secondly, dinosaurs. Yes. Come on. So let's talk about the fact that you're always going to have new exhibits, always constantly changing. Your old exhibits are great, and they keep kids' interest, too. So you're trying to attract more people. You had about 25,000 people visit last year.
Yes.
But you want to have more.
Yes. So honestly, when we were planning before we opened last year, we estimated 10,000. Well, 10,000 would be great. When our first month, when we had 2,500, we were like, oh my gosh, you know, check that off the list. But I think it just shows the need and the demand for this kind of attraction and opportunity for the children and families in our community. We track when visitors come in. We ask for their zip code. We know where people are coming from. It's not just right here. It's all around. We have families that have memberships that are from New London and from Palmyra, and once a week they come here for their groceries, and the kids know after the groceries they get to come play.
Behave yourself.
Yes, it's a weekly trip. So I definitely, we offer the memberships. We offer those for all families. It's $140 for an annual membership. You can come every single day if you want, or come once a week or once a month. Either way, it pretty well pays for itself. But then we also offer our museums for all programs. So that program offers half price admission and memberships to qualifying families. So if a family is a foster family, if they have WIC or SNAP EBT benefits, if they're an active duty military, you can come in, just bring a copy of, you know, whatever proof that you have. For the most part, we will believe you. Bring your license or bring a copy of your card and your photo ID, and our staff is trained to get you checked in. And the next time you come in and visit, if you purchase a Museums for All membership, you don't have to ever bring that stuff back again. You're a member just like everyone else, and you can come every single day if you want. So those Museums for All memberships are kind of our way to make sure that every single kiddo in our community and the surrounding region gets to experience the Children's Museum. Our admission rates are $5 for kids. If they're under the age of 1 or over the age of 12, it's $2. So for the adults, just a couple of bucks. But we knock that down to $1 or $2.50 if you have a qualifying factor. So please don't ever feel like if you can't afford it that you can't come in. Our staff will let you come in.
Well, the great thing about that is you mentioned the admission for 12 and up. I mean, there are families that by the time the 13 and 14-year-olds, you don't want to pay for them the full price because...
Yeah.
But you want them along because, number one, they need to have those experiences with their youngers, and the youngers look up to the olders.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that helpful supervision, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, it's really great because you have made this so affordable. And because it's affordable on a per-trip basis or on this membership basis, and let's face it, you need memberships because that's sustaining.
Yes.
That's going to be there.
Yep.
That's guaranteed income. And you've got to keep the lights on. You've got to keep the doors open.
Yes.
You've got to buy all of these brand-new exhibits. As you mentioned, you can't just have the same thing up there.
No.
Because after a while, you know, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. So like this dinosaur thing. Hopefully, everybody, word of mouth will spread.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to come in January, February, and March and see these dinosaurs, you know. So make sure you make a plan now. And when you do come, talk to them about a membership. Because once your kids have this much fun, and part of the problem is, I know with my littles, the ones in our family, getting them to leave is kind of problematic.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. That's where you really, I tell you, it's a great learning device for parents, though. Okay. Five more minutes or one more thing, whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to teach them that they have got to, you know, there'll always be a time again.
Yes.
But this time is coming to a close.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've also made it a little bit helpful. We collect used books, gently used books, and our staff kind of sorts through what can we put on the shelf at the museum and then what can we put on the bookshelf for kiddos as they're leaving. Take a book with you while you go home. And so that's our get out the door gift, parting gift. We keep those books out of the trash and reuse them. But the kids are so excited. They get to pick out. It's like visiting the library, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'll have families that bring us back a stack of books. And
yeah, it's like, here. We're,
yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
So
that's what it's all about.
We'll help
about.
You get them out the door.
You need volunteers.
Always. So, you know, volunteers It's a tricky task. I think I look at some community partners. Quincy Community Theater does an incredible job with their volunteers. They have ushers and tickets and all the things, the crew, the actors, and I think they've got a wonderful, wonderful base. I need to probably talk to them about how they've procured so many wonderful volunteers, but I don't want to steal them.
It's a different audience, but I will tell you, as a volunteer, they treat us well.
Yes.
They treat us well, and again, volunteers need to, well, first of all, like you said, give me a job that I want to do.
Yes.
First of all, and then you can stretch me after that into a job I maybe don't want to do.
Yeah.
But you can't force, you know, I've actually helped construct a set for Beauty and the Beast. I mean, that was a stretch for me.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I was glad I did it, because there was a great sense of pride to sit in the audience and say, hey, that staircase, I did planks 4, 6, and 8, you know,
awesome.
Or that bookcase, I painted that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think what you have to do is you have to find people who have a, you know, want to do it.
Right.
And then you've got to just treat them really well.
Yeah.
But you're right. Quincy Community Theater stands head and shoulders above.
Yes.
Because they have very few professionals on their staff, and they're like doing waitress, you know, and they're doing
gold.
Six.
Gold.
Yeah.
So.
They're nationally recognized. We're one of the first theaters to
That's
get
awesome.
Six in the whole country. I'm going to go see it Friday night. So, but if folks are interested, what kind of jobs do you have? What do you need?
You know, there's kind of whatever your time, treasure, talent, whatever it is, we can plug you in. I have a woodworker that I went and spoke to the Woodworkers Guild a couple of years ago. And so from time to time, Mr. Terry Hollenberg will come in with a new creation that he's built for us. So I say that's a great use of a volunteer that has, he's built our peg board, and he built a dinosaur puzzle that's in there now. And so those kind of things are always wonderful. But then we have Miss Lori is there every Monday. She is a former teacher that now comes in, and you wouldn't know if she's a floor staff or a volunteer because she does exactly what our floor staff is doing, and just interacts with the families, engages, grabs a book and reads a book to a kiddo. So if you are a former educator and you want to come in and be in our art room and do a project with the kiddos, we embrace that and we would welcome that.
You don't even need to be a former educator.
No, you don't.
Today I'm going to Venter at school, and I've been
yes.
in the second grade for so long now that I'm really good at second grade math.
There you go. I even get to
grade the papers now.
Wow.
And, but again, you know, I just have a love for children that I can return to other people. So there again, the Quincy Children's Museum, there's probably grandma and grandpas out there that don't have kids around here, and they really want to be around the three-year-old crowd, the six-year-old crowd, whatever crowd you want to be around. You know, that's the other thing. Don't give me a 10-year-old or whatever. And you will accept that.
Yes.
And you'll respect that.
Yes.
Some people want to deal with itties, bitties, and some people want somebody that can talk back a little bit more. And again, anybody that loves children and then wants to return them to their families can do this.
Yes. All of our programs, I should note, it's not drop-off. So there's a caregiver or guardian there with the kiddos. So you're not babysitting. In some ways.
And you're not dealing with discipline problems.
Yes.
If something happens at
mom. Typically, no, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think anywhere, you know, we're happy to kind of put people in. Right now, a lot of times it's, you know, come in, you know, help us with what we're doing. And I'm not ever going to ask a volunteer to do something that I'm not right there alongside them doing. If that's putting something together or resetting an exhibit for the 100th time, you know, it's repetitive in some ways, but you see a new kid come in and explore the grocery store, and it's like, okay, we're going to reset it so every single kid can have that experience.
That's right. Somebody has to stock the shelves at the grocery store.
Yep, they do. So we've had some great, if you have a student in high school that needs service hours, we love those kind of volunteers to come in. I think it gives young adults and young people an opportunity to see. For a lot of the high schooler kids, they kind of missed out on us. And so a lot of the times when we have our high school volunteers come in, they say, oh, I wish that this was here when I was a kid. And it's like, you're still a kid. And then by the end of their time volunteering, they're playing. So.
Yeah, when nobody's watching, they're also putting together the dinosaur puzzle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic. Well, folks, as you can tell, Mary Griffith is all in on the Quincy Children's Museum. Even though I've only been there really twice. I've gone to their traveling exhibits more than I've gone there, but it's not, look it, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
I just want it to be available. And I think there's a lot of people out there, if you want to volunteer, if you want to be around children, but again, you don't have to discipline them. You don't have to watch them per se. You know, you can enjoy the joy in their eyes as they watch the dinosaur. And that's your pay. Is
yeah.
I always say, you know, why do you, they say, why do you volunteer at school? I said, because it is so fabulous. The payback is
yes.
so fabulous
yeah.
For when you get that, that
yeah.
they love you. So how can we get in touch with you? 617-2827?
That's my personal phone.
Okay, like I said, don't call that.
You can. I answer it all the time.
What is your number?
It's 217-440-3388. That's a new phone for the Children's Museum. I try my best to check it, but sometimes I've got my kiddos with me and all that good stuff. We're still working out all the kinks of having a phone. But yeah, 440-3388, a text message, I'll get back with you. If you reach out to us on social media, you'll get a response back. But visit our website, www.quincychildrensmuseum.org. It's got our schedule, information about booking a birthday party, information about booking a field trip. All of that good stuff is on there. The Relish Jar did a great job with putting that together and making it pretty user-friendly. So
okay.
Check it out.
And mark February 9th, Super Bowl Sunday for the Quincy Brewing Company from noon to 3.
Yep.
And they're going to have homemade root beer floats, home-brewed root beer with home-brewed root beer floats, and then adult beverages as well from noon to 3 to get the kids' wiggles out so that they'll lay down and take a nap so you can watch the Super Bowl and the pregame. Always a pleasure to see you, Amy. We'll see you next month. And until then, folks, get and see those dinosaurs. You don't want to miss it at the Quincy Children's Museum.